everyone.
Hello.
Brain Candy Podcast 796. I was just telling Sarah because she didn't bring her makeup bag, she said. And I was like, that would never happen to me because, I mean, I wouldn't even like, I would never put anybody through that. Like, you're so naturally beautiful and stuff that, like, you can forget and not really even know.
No.
You're like, oh, wait, whoopsie.
Listen, it's apparent. I'm going through reverse puberty, like, where you, like, in puberty, you're, like, getting hormones, and so your skin breaks out and everything. I am losing hormones or maybe getting them. I don't know how the fuck this thing goes. And
you tell me. I was thinking the same thing. Like, what could possibly be causing any kind of skin disruption if you don't have any hormones going on?
Right. But then I'm adding a whole bunch with, you know, the estrogen patches. And now I'm like breaking out like I'm 15. Like I was telling Susie, I remember this same exact zit, except it was on the other side. 15 years old. Had my permit, stayed home from 4th of July until the sun was down because I didn't want to come outside because I had picked at it so much. It was a nightmare.
Aww.
I can remember staying in my room all day being like, I really want to go to the beach today, but I cannot have this thing out in public.
That is a terrible feeling.
Terrible.
It's very relatable.
I was trying to not touch it this go around. It's the worst.
Good luck.
I know. Godspeed.
My dermatologist prescribed me, I wish I knew, remember the name, because she was like, you got to stop picking. And I'm like, well, you got to get rid of my blemishes.
Well,
and then there wouldn't be anything to pick if you did your job, bitch. So it's like, can we nip it in the bud? That way, then there's nothing to pick. But she's like, there's this medication that makes 85% of users stop picking.
What? Give me it right now.
I thought that cannot be. She's doing the old placebo routine or something. Because like, but
I'll
then I looked it up. It's true. It's some sort of reward pathway scenario.
Give me it. Give me it. I want this.
Why do they hide this stuff from us?
Yeah. Why are you gatekeeping all the good stuff?
Mm-hmm. What do you think the reason
is? I don't know, some weird side effect like restless leg syndrome. Fine, I'll take it. Susie's like, I already got it.
Right.
What else you got? Check.
I don't know. We'll see. I'll keep you posted, but I won't tell you the name
of
those so you can ask. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. First up, I guess we'll take a look into the old suggestion box / complaint box. Here's the latest. What are people mad about now? The latest was, I don't know if I would say mad, but this person, Shelby, she said that your conversation about the Rebecca syndrome, you know, when you were sharing like how annoying it is that it's named after a woman and really anybody could have this jealousy syndrome. And she said it was a little bit hypocritical because of how we talked about our, one-time listener, Linda, who complained about our swearing.
Yeah.
And then we used it as like a trope for like 5 years.
Yeah, but if somebody named Joe called and said, I hate your swearing, I'd be like, sorry, Joe. But Joe didn't write in. Fucking Linda did.
Well, and she did. I mean, she really is a real person who wrote to us named Linda.
And somebody's going to be like, well, Rebecca really is a real person. Right. You're right.
It's a fictional book. She isn't a real person. That was like
she isn't.
Novel.
Right. Right.
But I mean, at first I was like, come on. But then I'm like,
I can see that. I get it. Listen, I'm nothing if not hypocritical all the time.
I love that. Such a good quote. Right, because if we acknowledge we're shitty and hypocritical,
I mean,
we're like, we told you, you kept listening.
I don't, and aren't we all? And it's not hypocritical when you didn't know the information that you learned something, and then you're like, oh, now I know now. That's awareness.
Right? I know.
Shelby. I'm trying to think of an example of where, like, I did, and then I Well, this is like all the time where people like get mad at you for like a, nobody's mad again. Nobody's mad. But like a an old idea that you held and then you don't hold that idea now. And they're like, well, you thought this. I'm like, oh, okay, well, I don't now. What would you like me to do? Show me your argument. I will change it. I am so flexible. I'm like, yeah, whatever.
Fine, whatever.
Yeah. I'll give up. I'll totally throw in the towel on that idea or whatevs.
I think that now we should call anybody that writes in with like a good point that we don't like, we'll call them a Shelby.
There we go. That's like a positive.
Yeah. It's like, Shelby, you really need to keep your good arguments to yourself over there because we're just yucking it up over here. Okay.
If somebody named something after you, if they were like, oh, she pulled a Susie.
Yeah.
What would it be?
Nothing good. It wouldn't be like, wow, she's really special. No, that's, it would a be real
like
Susie
you've completely
there.
Reorganized your kitchen and labeled everything, I feel like. It's like,
what would yours be?
She's like you, got a system.
Actually, no, we had someone
people
write
say
to
this
us.
All. Eli says it all the time.
What are yours?
Oh,
apply
I pulled
to?
A Sarah, like,
absent-mindedness.
Like, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that. Or like load the dishwasher like a maniac or leave clothes in the dryer for like 5 days.
Oh my gosh, that's terrible.
What? Well, he's calling me that or that I leave clothes in the dryer for 5 days?
The 5 day thing.
Oh, jeez.
They could get moldy.
You're such an Eli. No, in the dryer. They're not. They've
sorry.
Been in
okay.
the dryer, but probably
I'm fine with
too,
that.
But.
Somebody wrote in today and said that one of the Kelsey brothers, the one that dates Taylor, he pulled a Sarah, and it was that he mistook Yoko Ono for Apollo Ono.
That's a great
the speed
one.
Skater. Yeah.
That's a really good one.
That really
I would
me.
Totally do that. That's so good. The best is when you have a full conversation and you are in it and you are spitting out facts, but about totally the wrong person. Wrong. Like you have the information, but just not the name. Oh God, that tickles my funny bone.
Oh, we're off to a roaring start. Thanks to that mailbag. Yeah. Thanks everyone.
Thanks guys.
Shitting on us.
I've been in a real giggly mood lately. I don't know if it is.
That's great.
Yeah, I've been laughing a lot. I think that I went on a higher dose of estrogen. Maybe that helped me out. But
I wonder, and
some vitamin D. So both of those things. I am thinking everything is funny.
That's fantastic. That is the best.
Just giggling.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Good for you.
So let's do more of that. I love laughing.
Well, I told Sarah before we started, you know, I was talking again about the pet gate, the funeral thing. I don't want to talk about it, but I will. about how like Larry David said something similar on a new episode of Curb. And I was like, I really need to remind the listeners because it's easy to forget because I do not look like a cranky old man.
Right. Right.
But I am one.
Yes.
And that
she is one.
Almost everything he does,
is.
I'm like, this is so relatable.
Correct.
And
yeah,
it's just who I am, people. I was born this way. Yeah. I don't know what to tell you.
Okay. And I've been dog sitting for a week and I would die for her.
For the dog. Aw.
I mean, I love this dog. She's brought back. What? Life without a dog? Ugh. It's just the worst.
I know. Yeah. I mean, that's what I hear.
Who
anyway,
am I going to talk to in the... baby, come
I
on. I need to talk to something in the little voice.
Is this like a test drive? You think maybe you're ready to get back into the dog?
No, I think we're in
journey.
A pretty good situation because there are three families that this dog kind of goes
joint
between.
Custody.
Yeah, it feels like joint custody. It's kind of a best situation. I get the dog for a week and then we're going up to the mountains and in an Airbnb that doesn't allow pets. So he's going back home to mom and then he goes over to Eli's sister and hangs out with them for a bit. And then
that's about
another
right.
Family.
Everybody gets
it's
a
great.
Turn.
Right. We've got like a timeshare dog.
Aw. That's funny.
I love
that's
it.
That's probably the best way to do it.
I think it is.
Yeah. I like that. Interesting. Yeah. Something to think about over here.
Yeah.
All right. Another thing you might want to think about is getting into the routine of having AG1, because your body will be clapping with joy. It's yes. so good. It's such a great routine to be in. I was mixing by hand like a doofus.
What and are
you I got
doing?
One of those frothers. I yes. saw you, you know, charging up over there.
Like, yeah, you got to get the frother. It's know, and it like, creates like a nice, like I don't know, froth.
Yeah, hey, it looks like it, like a foam or something.
Yeah, I like it. Mm-hmm. It's better.
Yeah, so I'm like leveling up over here. So get on my level, everyone, and get AG1. It supports your immune health. It's just one of those things that you get into a good habit. And like mm-hmm. I always say, it's a snowball effect. Then you start mm-hmm. making good choices. Next thing you know, you're indestructible. That's not a guarantee, okay? It's not a FDA claim that you will be indestructible. but it's just such a great routine and habit to get into. If there's one product we had to recommend to elevate your health, it's AG1. That's why we've partnered with them for so darn long. So if you want to take ownership of your health, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3, K2, and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/braincandy. That's drinkag1.com/braincandy. Check it out. That vitamin D is making Sarah giggly, according to her.
Yes.
So
that's what I've been
that's
taking.
Pretty good. I love that.
I've been taking my daily dose of vitamin D.
You have to.
Yeah.
Especially in the winter.
Have to.
Okay. Alrighty. Yeah. Starting with, well, I guess you could call it old gossip, but really it's like new gossip about something old.
Okay.
I haven't
okay.
played my old gossip jingle in a while. Should I do it?
Yeah, man. I love jingle.
Okay. We'll just get that going right now.
Old celebrity stories, classic drama at its best. No need to wait for entertainment updates. This is gossip from the vintage press. We have the whole story. Let's take a look at those facts. Addicted to drama and you just can't stop it. Well, you better listen to old gossip.
Okay, so the gossip is that Somewhere Over the Rainbow may have been plagiarized. This was in the Hollywood Reporter.
Oh.
And I thought it was so fascinating because, okay, so the guy that wrote it, the song that we know from The Wizard of Oz, he's also the guy that wrote the song, I've Got the World on a String, Sitting on a Rainbow. Maybe he's big on rainbows. Who knows? Anyway, he had some, you know, cute little American songbook hits.
Yeah.
But then he was asked to write all these songs for Wizard of Oz, and he wrote the bangers, you know, like Off to See the Wizard and
yeah,
all those jazzy ones. But yeah, they had to write this ballad, and I guess people say ballads are hard to write. I don't
yeah,
know why.
I would imagine.
Yeah, like the fast ones come easier, but the more heartfelt things, like people get writer's block or whatever. And that's what happened to him. He was feeling like all this pressure and their deadline was coming up and he was feeling stressed about it. And then he claims that the song just like came to him. I knew you were going to do that.
In the time before a little Google search of the lyrics, in the time before it, please plagiarize. I bet we find out 9 out of 10 of your favorite ditties are plagiarized or stolen from black people.
It's so funny that you say that, but not about the black people. I don't know who he was stealing from, but one reporter observed that the first song that this guy tried to sell was, quote, the sort that could have gotten him into several plagiarism suits. And somebody else had said that he was frightened of everything he wrote sounding like something else.
Because he's copying it. You know what people who write original things never worry about? getting plagiarism.
Yeah, right.
I can tell you, as somebody who's written papers for school that were 100% my own, I one time plagiarized myself.
Yeah, that can happen.
I think I called you and asked you if I could do that, but I just copy and pasted and like just half of a paper from a I'm like, I wrote it. It's fine.
I mean, if you had published the first one, that's one thing, but like,
right.
Come on.
Right. Exactly. It's just my own work. And I remember how nervous I was that somebody that, and I was like, can you do this? You're asking questions. You're worried. Oh, I'm worried that this sounds too much like this when I was up to no good.
Right. Okay.
So I'm not worried about that when I'm like, oh yeah, this is my own work. Like, right. You know who else Ed Sheeran, I'm looking at you.
Oh my gosh.
I'm sorry.
Out of
but
nowhere.
He is in a lot. He is often one. I know that he goes to court for this frequently.
He did go at least once. I did watch that trial.
I think more than once.
And he was exonerated.
And he always is. But I'm just saying that he's a great songwriter and he's amazing and so talented. And I would love to see his shows. But I do feel like he's like one where it's like, you know, when Vanilla Ice definitely ripped off Queen, and then he goes like, it goes ding, ding, ch-ch-ch. And like, I feel like that's what Ed Sheeran kind of does. He goes, no, it's different. TLC's whatever went like this, and my song goes like that. And it's like, that you just did the same thing. Maybe if you have the ear for music in a way that I do not, but I'm like, that's the same. So many songs you love are just samples of old stuff.
Well, so this is what people always do, though, in the trials for plagiarism. On one hand, like, they'll make the argument that, listen, there's only so many notes, you know?
Right.
Like, pop songs are probably going to sound similar. But on the other hand, you only have to have three matching notes and then a potential exposure to the original song to have a valid claim.
Wow. I would be plagiarizing everything right and left, because it almost feels like, how does a new song pop in your head, especially if a lot of songs, I think things in art are inspired by sounds that we hear out in nature or out in the world. You know, like I can imagine like raindrops dripping and somebody who's musically inclined turning that like into some sort of beat. Mm-hmm. And then,
sure.
You know, I'm sure a lot of very talented musicians have heard raindrops in the same, very similar form and like created music around that. Like,
well, and a lot of times what they call, I forget the name, there's an official name for it, but it's basically, I think it's called innocent influence or something like that, where
exposure?
You've heard something you didn't even know, you don't remember having
exposure?
Heard it. Well,
innocent
I don't know the official term, but
guessing.
It's something like that, where you've heard it
like I've heard that
without
term
realizing
before.
It got into your psyche, and then you accidentally were influenced enough to write something
similar. This happened
similar.
The other day. Eli and I were watching TV, and we were watching some show. I can't remember what it was. And halfway through it, he goes, on the show, they're making cauliflower soup. And 15 minutes later, he's on his phone making the grocery list. And he goes, I feel like making cauliflower soup next week. And then I talked to him about it. And I'm like, well, you made it because it was on the show. He goes, I don't know why I got the craving for cauliflower soup. I'm like, I do. They were making it on the show we just watched 15 minutes ago. He's like, what? I didn't even know that. He was not thinking at all about that. But some part of his brain
sponges.
Was thinking about groceries and put that together. And next thing you know, I had cauliflower soup.
Well, right. These things can just happen. We don't even always know. We're sponging up and absorbing all this info. And in this case, this guy, he was in Buffalo and this other composer is in Europe, but the other composer had come over when the guy that wrote Over the Rainbow was 12 and he was very immersed in classical training and his to his town and performed And so we don't know if he was there. We don't know if he heard the song, but it's possible. So he would have had a valid claim if
he wanted
to.
So somebody else wrote a song. So this other guy who... Have we heard that other guy's song?
Well, the other composer is a lady, and we have...
Oh, my God. How dare I? See? No. Okay. I was like, it's either black people or women they're stealing from their music from.
Yeah.
Look at that. That's some bullshit.
Then they interviewed in this article in the Hollywood Reporter, this guy named Schwartz, who wrote Pippin and Godspell and Wicked. And said, yeah, everyone that listened to it was like, yeah, they sound the same. But Schwartz was like, yeah, absolutely, they sound the same. But I think it's a coincidence. I think it was just maybe accidental or a complete fluke. And I don't know why he concluded that. But it said, plagiarism is copying without inspiration, and inspiration is plagiarism without getting caught. So I guess they're saying that, everybody's doing this.
Everybody is. And
you think
that was one of the things I learned in grad school, that there's very little new ideas. Very like most things you're going to be either building off of somebody else's previous idea or just citing their idea. It's somebody else's.
Yeah.
You know, it's right. Really, there's, it's kind of
how it
goes.
Are you inclined to believe this was plagiarized? Like you originally thought?
Yeah.
Or do you think maybe it was like...
No, I believe it was plagiarized, but I think a lot of things are. I think I like the last quote.
Yeah, okay. So it's just sort of like everybody's doing it.
Yeah.
It's not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, jury's out. We don't know the answer because they're both dead.
You do have to play a little bit of Where's the Line with that. Because I hate seeing these fast fashion companies rip off amazing artists.
Yeah.
And put their stuff on there for cheaper. I hate that.
Mm-hmm.
So how many notes is too many notes? Like,
right. And it's very murky when they have these trials. Like, cause that, remember the trial with, is his name Robin Thicke?
Yeah, yeah.
And whatever that song is, you know, you want it or whatever.
Yeah, that
and
song anyway.
And he was sued by the estate of, was it Marvin Gaye?
Maybe, but that sounds about right.
Yeah. Got to give it up.
Be. Yeah.
And
yes,
they
yes.
lost. Yeah, they lost that one. Pharrell and Robin Thicke. Yeah, because everyone knew that was sampled in that song.
Yes. You have to give a credit.
If you're going to plagiarize, be more creative and do a better job hiding it, is what we're saying over here.
Yeah.
Anyway, all's well that ends well. Nobody's mad or suing, so.
I will say that is one of my superpowers. I'm not very good at hearing music in the same way you hear music, but I am excellent at identifying what song was sampled in whatever song and what other
That's
song
a fun
is,
skill.
Is exactly like that. That and then telling you who's doing voiceover acting, like who that is, if it's a cartoon.
That's a good skill too.
That's
because sometimes that can drive you crazy.
Yeah. And I always get that. I'm like, oh, this is this person. Oh, this is this person.
What do you think that is, that gift that you have?
I don't know, but they've got to be the same part of the brain, and it has to be something with just matching, like assigning, like, I don't know what it is, but it's like pairs. It's like somebody told me that the difference between, I had a psychology professor, sociology, some one of those heady teachings professors, say that, like, what makes a human, a person, like, what makes us different than animals? Because the answer, like, isn't language. It isn't a whole, it's not, like, sense of self. Animals have, there's a lot of things that you think of that animals also share. And the thing that he came up with, now that we know he probably didn't come up with, he probably shared with us, that was somebody else's information, was our ability to make metaphors.
Okay.
To say that how, if we look at a watermelon, to an animal that's really just serves one purpose. It's to eat, but we can cut it in a certain way and use it as a basket. We can carve it like a pumpkin and it could be for fun. We could, you know, you could use it a whole, we see it as many different things, and our ability to compare things and see how two things are similar or different than other things is what makes us uniquely human. And so that I feel like is one of those just human skills, matching music to this sounds like this other song.
That is a handy gift, because that can make you crazy when you can't think of what song it is or what.
Yeah.
Like where you heard something or whose voice that is. That drives me nuts. You.
I also know the exact right amount to put in a blender to make your smoothie be the exact same size as the glass that you want to drink it at. I don't know what that is.
These are very important skills.
Very important. Very. These are my only superpowers. That's all I got, people.
Well, one of my superpowers is getting my family to wake up, but I can't take the credit because it's all Hatch making that happen. The Hatch Restore 2 is my favorite little device. I give it away to people that I want to be nice to because it's a crowd pleaser.
This is an excellent gift.
Excellent gift.
It's like a gift that keeps on giving.
My sister Gretchen said she got one for each member of her family for Christmas because everybody needs one. It's like a sunrise simulation instead of just this jarring nightmare that most alarm clocks are.
Right.
Helps you wake up in a natural way with the light, especially after that dang, what do you call it?
Daylight savings. Right.
Sick of it.
Yeah.
I'm still mad about it. But this will help. This will help with all that. Because it helps you go to sleep, it helps you stay asleep, and it helps you wake up in a way that feels human and normal and not like a violent assault.
Oh, God.
Right now,
if any of you have those terrible alarms, stop.
Yeah, I hate it. $20 off your purchase of the Hatch Restore and free shipping at hatch.co/braincandy. Visit hatch.co/braincandy to get $20 off and free shipping. hatch.co/braincandy. I have all the codes on our website as well. Yes. Been updating that for your convenience.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, moving on. Okay. One thing I wanted to say, I think I told you I had watched the Rock Hudson
documentary. No, you didn't tell me this.
Were we talking? Okay, no. I watched that. That was on...
Must be your other podcast co-host.
Well, I think because I mentioned Natalie Wood and they were like back to back on my little
I always say that to Eli whenever he mixes up me with somebody like something that he told me. I goes, oh, it must be your other girlfriend. And so now I get to do it to you. It must be your other podcast host.
Okay. Well, it wasn't you. It was just me talking to myself. I think it was on Hulu, but I'm not sure. Maybe Max. Yeah. Anyway, he's an interesting character, because of his... This life, his personal life
story. I don't know anything about him.
He was that
guy. Is he
a
porno guy?
I wish.
Who am I confusing him with? Oh, I pulled a Sarah. What are we doing here?
With a name like Rock Hudson, he definitely could have been an adult
actor. You mean to tell me a guy with the first name Rock is not in porn?
No, he's not. He was old Hollywood and he was closeted. So that became what he was most known for eventually because he contracted AIDS and that's how he died.
Oh.
And he basically was the first celebrity who died of AIDS and that admitted it eventually right before he died.
Oh my God, he's so handsome.
Gorgeous.
Oh,
I mean,
I know
like
who
Paul
this
Newman
is.
Hot.
Oh yeah, he died right before I was born.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, he's so handsome. I love a man with a mustache.
And he seemed like a real sweetheart. Oh, you know why I thought I told you about him? Because I told you about Cary Grant and how people think he was. And they have very similar stories where they both had these like male roommates well into their like 40s.
Right.
And never really had a successful, heterosexual relationship and stuff like that. anyway, so it's, they were parallel, Cary Grant and Rock Hudson in a lot of ways. But anyway, so Rock eventually got AIDS and died from it. And I wanted to ask you something that they talk about in the documentary, which I was not aware of. So later in his life, after he was HIV positive, and I guess they didn't call it that then. It was probably just like AIDS, like, you know, but he was, nobody knew he had it. It just looked like he was failing in health, but really people didn't know why. He was asked to appear on the TV show Dynasty, and he had like a love interest on the show whose name is escaping me, but she was one of the blonde diva, beautiful ladies on there, matriarchs. And she, I don't, she didn't know that he was, had AIDS, and they were romantic on the show. So he had to kiss her. And that was early enough where maybe doctors and smart people knew that you couldn't contract AIDS that way, really, but that it, people were frightened and didn't want to risk it. And there was also the homophobia element to it.
Of course.
Anyway, so he agreed to the part, did the scene, but he like wouldn't open his mouth. And so like, it actually made it worse because then they had to redo it like 50 times because like, it wasn't,
right.
It wasn't like romantic enough.
Oh no. How, what a terrible moment.
And she talks about it in the interview as like, almost like she knew, but didn't know, like almost like something was up and it felt weird. And then looking back, she was like, he was trying to save me and he was trying to like, whatever. Don't you think though, that given that we didn't really know exactly what this disease was and how it was contracted, that like him even taking that part was sort of surprising to me.
Yeah.
Does that surprise you?
Yes.
Yeah.
And to not write anything where like we wouldn't have a kissing scene or something like that.
Right. But then I think,
mean, people were very ignorant about how now it's like so different. I mean, think about, think about how we were when COVID first showed up.
I still am.
Right.
I'm still paranoid. Like, I don't want it.
You know, and that's different.
It's scary.
And I wasn't letting anybody with in my door frame, let alone near my mouth. And that was just,
I guess,
COVID.
One of the challenges, though, when you aren't really alive or old enough at a time, is hard. It's hard for me to know. Okay, they filmed that scene this in whatever year, and here's what we knew or didn't know. So it's hard for me to know if he
knew
had been
nothing.
Well, that's what I'm wondering, though. Did
he
know?
He died in 85.
Okay, so you feel like he was maybe taking a risk, or do you think he knew that it was safe, but other people didn't? Right, that's what I'm trying to figure out. What did we know?
I see, because, like, imagine that shame and guilt you'd be living with not knowing, like...
He must have known. They must have known, but like people couldn't accept it because it was too scary or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
They were generous to him in the film, but I thought, I don't know, man, that if he wasn't sure and he took that part, I mean, that's
Don't you feel like those old timey kisses are sometimes like that? They're just closed mouth ones where they're like real
like statues.
Like real firm.
Forceful, yeah.
Up against each other. Like, nobody kisses like that.
Yeah, why were they doing that?
Oh.
I guess it had to seem, like, romantic, but not crude or something.
Yeah. But so then when you see somebody, around. Oh, what was I watching? I was watching some movie last night, TV show, where, oh, I know, Eli and I have been really into these video games where you could play as a team with like two players. It's basically like an escape room, but video games. And we're playing one where you are two guys escaping out of jail. And there's a scene where the character kisses, his wife comes to visit him in jail and he kisses his wife. And both of us are like, inappropriate. What is... save it for the bedroom. And like, we were like not okay with all these. And it was 2 seconds. It wasn't even like long, but both of us were like,
What? That was way too much for video games.
Why? Because you felt like, what is romance doing in this game?
Yeah, no, it was like a lot. There was like tongue action. Like she like kissed him and like the whole head's tilted and like full mouth.
No,
and I understand it's a video game, but I was like, this, you can tell when boys make video games when girls make video games.
Totally. You know? That's so true. Like, I'm not into that.
Our last game we played,
tongue.
Made by women. This game, made by men.
That's hilarious.
So funny. Yeah.
I'll tell you what I else wish I could go back and find the clip. Has got to be made by women, and that's Honey Love. Those babies.
Oh, for sure. Because they know a woman's body and all kinds of bodies.
Yeah, man. Talk about supportive.
These have been my go-to pants post-surgery.
Ugh,
Now that, like, I need to feel, like, supported, but and things just, like, I have no core. So any kind of support helps.
Well, I remember.
Honey Love is there for me.
Off the air, you were telling me about how the doctor told you, like, to hold off on going snowboarding for a while.
Yeah.
And then when you described the reason, like the actual physical reason, I was like, oh yeah. And so no wonder.
Yeah.
You
I'm staying right at home in my Honey Love yoga pants doing a no yoga. My year of stretching is stretching on the couch.
That's right. Yoga optional when you wear leggings or the crossover bra or any of their wonderful shapewear pieces. You can just sleep in them if you want. I don't judge. They're just breathable, versatile, supportive. You will love them. Treat yourself to the best bras on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/braincandy. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off, honeylove.com/braincandy. After you purchase, they ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Treat yourself to Honey Love because you deserve it. Okay. This is really old gossip heavy today. I need to like be in the now, man. What am I doing?
No, gossip is fun.
Okay. There was this cute little article in JSTOR that was about, the headline was "When the Telephone Was Considered Feminine, Being Difficult to Understand on the Other End of the Line Was a Badge of Masculinity." I was like, go on.
Okay.
Can you believe?
This makes so much sense. Here's what I could tell you why before you even read the article.
Me. Yeah.
Secretaries. Secretaries who were meant to answer the phone were a man who's in the office didn't ever answer his phone. That was somebody else's job because they had telephone operators who did all that.
Oh.
And then the phone being part like in the home. Not something that travels. If it came out in the other direction and it were like phones that travel with you, like car phone, once that car phone came out, it was like a man's status symbol around the phone. And then carrying your phone with you became the thing. Oh my God.
It's so crazy. Like we humans
totally
apparently can gender anything.
We sure can.
And it says in the 1870s, before most people had ever even talked on a phone, the technology was already seen as feminine. And in like romantic stories of the time, like Mark Twain and stuff like that, they would characterize it that way. It's
girls first centuries have been like, can we just talk?
Yeah, right.
It's century old.
Okay, we just want
really to talk to you about, I just want to talk to you about our problems. No. I mean, we just need to talk.
Mark Twain said, the woman authoritatively defines the parameters of calls and has the power to terminate communication, leaving men to respond only with a sort of telephonic madness. Okay.
Okay.
And then other stories revolved around a man's pursuit of a phone operator he met by chance while making a call. And that's when having a good voice became like an important trait in a female partner in particular.
And since they've based entire TV shows around it. I'm looking at you, Love is Blind.
Do they talk about
Love
voices in there? No, I mean, do they actually say, like, I like her voice or something?
Yes.
Okay.
And then one woman leaned heavy into the accent when she would pronounce words. She'd be like, my sister Cassara. Like it would be like heavy roll in her R. She goes, oh, I love it when you talk like that. Of course, that's how she speaks.
I think she's Brazilian. She speaks Portuguese, I think. I don't know. Maybe I'm saying it wrong. Maybe she's from somewhere else. But she has a beautiful accent, but she turned it up when the guy on the other side was like.
I don't blame her. Works every time.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, the good voice came to be connected with the use of standard English and like regional.
The use of what English, you said?
Standard.
Oh, standard. So, English. Like, okay.
Yeah. So regional dialects, you know, were and still are not high society, right?
Yeah.
Like you're kind of supposed to sound like you're not from anywhere, I guess, if you do the news or things like that. Even in the low fidelity sound of early phones, many listeners found it hard to understand regional speech patterns. Men in particular were apparently hard to understand. And then...
That goes against what I would imagine.
Why?
That higher pitched female voices would be more difficult to understand.
Oh, yeah. I can see what you mean.
Yeah, because those higher ranges are what people who have hearing difficulties can't hear and what things don't pick up. And usually when I'm being too high pitched into my mic is when it drops out. So it's weird that the lower tones are what, maybe because they sound like garbled, like.
Yeah. Give it says that universities and elementary schools started offering voice instruction to female students, and they learned to speak clearly and precisely without straining their vocal cords, which meant that the men who spoke clearly over the phone might come across as feminized.
Oh.
What do you think?
Interesting.
Weird, right?
Very weird. You know how there was a time where we were teaching people how to write in cursive with their right hand only? And so you saw a drop in people who were lefties because they were being forced to write with their right hand. And then
my
when that went
had
away.
To switch.
Yeah. When that went, so did my grandma. When that went away, number of lefties magically shot up.
Right.
I wonder what. Voice tra- like what the consequences
are. But it must be
are.
What you said. They didn't say the secretary stuff, but that seems like it's implied.
That's it. Of course it is. Of course it is. There's no, because I think, have you seen a episode of Mad Men? They don't answer any damn phones.
Right. They're drinking, man.
They're just drinking.
Mm-hmm.
There's no time between martinis for phone calls.
Yeah.
That's woman's work.
Well, even like the telephone company, if you remember when they had the switchboard and you had to like manually move cords, those were all ladies doing that.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Sarah figured it out.
It's that. It's because we hired women for those. Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Which, come on.
There was this fun little video that Popular Science put out the other day, and it was about this product that was being marketed in a 1987 Popular Science issue, or an article had been written about it in the 1987 issue. And this current journalist had read the article and was like, what is this? It was called Butler in a Box.
Well, we love this already.
I know, right? My last name, if you're not familiar, is actually Butler because of my beloved. and so we love Butler puns around here, but this is Butler in the Box, and it was basically, what are you laughing about?
Because I'm just thinking about all of the puns that you could, like the
well, you
like,
know, our company's called
about
the Butler Did It.
When, yeah, and I'm thinking about what Justin Timberlake's, that's my dick in a box, and then the, it's a Butler in a Box.
Right, they write themselves.
Like, Susie, where are you going with this?
This thing, it was about, I don't know, the size of a shoebox, a big shoebox, and it claimed to be a voice assistant, like a predecessor
Alexa.
To Alexa. Yeah. And we're talking about, it was originally made in 83. We didn't even have the interwebs.
Listen, this is what I'm telling you, people.
Uh-oh.
Anything that is coming out on the market that you see, this is what... I was told this by a futurist I was on a plane with from Norway.
I remember this person.
Back to the United States. And he said, yeah. Anything that you see that's like, available to the masses, the military has had the technology on it for at least 30 years, if not more. Microwaves mm-hmm. did not come out. They knew about microwaves, and then they were like manufactured, released, and then we're like, oh my God, microwave in every home. This stuff, like holograms, all of this, they are, imagine our technology 30 years ago. Right. And how archaic that seems.
I mean, that's what this essentially...
They are 30 years ahead of us right now.
Right.
It is stuff you cannot even imagine. And then every now and then, we get a little bit of it leaked out. And then they're like, oh, nope, we're not ready for that. Run it back. Like this Alexa thing. And like the electric car.
Yeah. That documentary was good.
There's a great documentary, What Happened to the Electric Car? And you have to see it because it's like, everybody's like, oh, nope, change your mind. They're not ready. Bring it back in. And we can't make enough money off this yet.
Yeah.
Too much change. So I don't, it's all out there. Everything. I can't wait for the future. Future's fucking here, man. Yeah. Old gossip. I love it.
Well, whenever I was watching it, so this guy from Popular Science is describing the butler in the box as a voice assistant before there was internet and stuff, but then he found one, it's still in the box and everything on eBay. So he bought it and was like,
a butler in the box, in the box.
Totally. And he was able to set it up, but it had like this 150 page manual.
Wow.
And it was so convoluted and complicated. And it was so expensive. They were describing how, like, if you really did get all the parts and set it all up, it would be like $15,000. And all it really would do is like turn on a lamp and stuff. You know, it wasn't really advanced, but he kept describing it as all this work and all this money. And what's the point? And I thought that's where we were going, is this guy was like a scam artist or something. This guy named Gus Searcy. But at the end, what he concluded came for me as a surprise, which was this person was ahead of their time. And that anytime you have a completely new innovation that someone's like poured their soul into, it's usually really complicated. It's usually really expensive. And then all the businesses just get a free ride. They take the technology and then they improve it and make it amazing.
Yeah.
Over whatever.
Yeah.
And so I thought they were framing it as this guy's like a mad scientist, but really mm-hmm. he was just like creating what would become the way we all live every day. And it really wasn't that long ago. Like the last time they featured it on TV was in 2005 on that show, like Trading Spaces or whatever, the HGTV something.
Whoa.
And they were still acting like it was amazing. And that was like
that
20
wasn't
years
that
ago.
Long ago. In my mind, I was picturing like 1978. I was picturing still like the old timey phone operators. And
the original one was like 83, but then they, you know, kept basically being like Dippin' Dots, like this is the ice cream of the future.
Yes.
And then the future never comes, but really in this case it did.
Yeah, I felt like during the late 90s, there were a bunch of TV shows that featured these like homes of the future. And it'd be like the curtains would open automatically. And now that's like something you buy for like $24 on Amazon.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
It does feel, I get mixed signals, so to speak, about like what technology can and can't do. Because on one hand, it's amazing what we can do. And then on the other hand, like, I'll ask that bitch Alexa something. And she's
Don't get me started. 50-50. Like, 50-50,
like,
if that.
Ma'am. She's always confused about everything.
Right. So sensitive.
So what's the answer?
How old is your gal?
I don't even know.
Is it? I bet it's old. I bet it's older than you think. I bet it's like 8 years old.
You think that's the problem?
I do.
Okay.
I think we need to update our ladies. I know, but think about how often you've updated your phone. Because I'm running into a speaker prop, like it's not hearing me. And I honestly think it's because we keep it in the kitchen. And
that is the truth.
You know?
Because of the darn grease.
Yeah, I think so. And I can't clean out in between those little itty bitty holes.
No, you can't.
Okay, look at that. I think we're just solving problems fucking right and left over here.
Are we ahead of our time?
Are we?
Sarah, we have been DVRing Quantum Leap, so we're back in the leap
zone. Wow, fun. I hear great things about this show. Everybody tells me that I would love this. I've never seen it.
It's your Interstellar. Oh, my God. It's true, though. You really would love it, which is why I would probably love Interstellar. We'll never know, though.
I'll never know.
Sarah, it's so good. I mean, it really makes you think.
Seuss, I love this. This is so... Yes! Again, imagine how much you love Interstellar.
Sarah, do you think that... I feel like on this show one time you said time travel is impossible. Is that correct? Am I remembering right?
I'm sure. No.
Is that your opinion?
I said that I think what I said was if we think we're seeing aliens, we're probably not seeing aliens. We're seeing people who are from another dimension. I think it's not as much time travel as it is interdimensional travel.
I like that. That's pretty fun. Okay. Yeah. That sounds really cool. Do you think time travel is impossible? Could Sam Beckett be
I think we could. Because it's all relative. It's all like and it's probably not in the same way we think of it. I don't know. And don't you feel like different dimensions would be more likely than time?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying about that.
Because, like, you can't... Can you have roll back time? I don't think you could.
I don't think you can, but...
I really don't. I think there are too many...
thinking about it.
Because I think at any time you would go visit the past, you're really just creating another branch of the reality. Like... It splinters off. Like every visit to the past would then create a different future, which would be different than that other future that you visited or that you are coming from. So I don't think you'd be able to return to your original home.
Yeah. Doesn't Sam know it? I mean, that guy just.
I'm just trying to get some traffic at the end of the day, Seuss. If they have a way to do that.
Well, the.
Just get me home without traffic.
The premise of Quantum Leap, I really am stuck in the past. I'm realizing this more every moment of this recording.
This is aging.
I know, it's so true. The premise of it is that Dr. Sam, I was saying Beckett, but now I'm questioning that. But anyway,
the
main character, he was a physicist and he was real smart and stuff. And he was making this time travel scenario, but then... it malfunctioned. And so he couldn't get back. He's just going from one place to the next and trying to fix things that went wrong.
Oh, I would like this.
It's so good. And then every week he's in a different body and he has to figure out who he is and what he has to fix.
Oh, fun. Susie into a a scripted show. I'm loving this. What is happening?
Okay, this but get on. You should try it out. Don't do what I did with Interstellar, because now that's just a joke.
No, I won't. I won't.
Will you watch it, maybe?
Yeah, I will. We just started watching Fargo, so
people love that too.
It's amazing.
Does that make you think, or are you escaping in that one?
Both. It's like a really good crime, like whodunit,
yeah,
but also a cat and mouse kind of chase, but you don't know whose side you're on. You're like, sometimes you're on the side of the bad guys, but sometimes you're like, oh, that, who am I rooting for?
It's like how our listeners feel about us. I thought I liked them, but now do
I? And you just can't stop watching. And yeah. And I am loving it. And you can watch the seasons out of order. And I like the shows where you can do that, where each season is like self-contained.
Its own thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, that's a good tip too.
Quantum Leap, I got to start at episode one or what?
No, that's the same thing. You can watch any episode.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Great. I love that.
Okay.
All right.
I'll do one last thing. What about... there's a matchmaking tree in, I think it's Germany.
Oh, okay.
That has like its own address. And people write love letters, and the mailman the postal worker comes and delivers the mail to it every day. And then people can come into the woods and pick out a letter and see if they find their future partner. It's like Tinder, but in the woods. And there was an article in the New Yorker about it.
It's funny because Tinder is wood. And
yeah.
So I liked that. Okay. Go
on. Yeah.
Yeah. And starting the fire, the flame, Tinder. I get it now. I never thought about that. Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Carry on.
We're connecting dots over here.
Yep.
Anyway, it was just this real cute article about the tree and how people find their loves, and it's gotten hundreds of matches, and people
matches.
Yeah, that people find their partner.
This was not what I thought you were going to say, and I upon hearing this was like, how many people are not women writing? This sounds like a lovely thing for women to do, but are there really, and if it is something that people are like, oh no, this, there's like some,
people think it's magical
truth here. Wow. I love this then. Everybody write to the tree for love. Yay.
Yeah. It's very sweet. And then there was this, the tree itself is like a mile outside of like all the other postal stops. And so like the mail person that gets assigned to this is always like, oh, for fuck's sake, I got to go take these letters to the tree. And, but this one guy had the route for like 20 years or something. And he just had to embrace it. Cause first he was like, ugh, and everyone wants to talk to him about the tree and stuff. And he was fed up. And then
you're a mailman. That's like 90% of your job is chit chat, isn't it?
Oh my gosh.
10% get the mail into the box.
Yeah. I mean, you're out in the world. You got to deal with
seeing the same people every single day.
Ugh. I mean,
there's a character in Fargo who wanted to be a policeman, but they weren't hiring. So he became a cop.
Wait, he wanted to be a mail. A postal worker.
Sorry. I wanted to be a mailman, but they weren't hiring. And he goes, here's why. And after he pitched the job, I was like, do I want to be a mailman?
Nice. Yeah. You're like Cliff Clavin.
Lovely.
So this
like,
guy,
no one shoots you.
He finally embraced it and he was like, fine. And he would like, you know, carry around like an explanation about the tree so he didn't have to repeat it 50 times or whatever.
Smart.
And he started doing interviews because the media wanted to talk about the tree and everything. And then finally, in like the late 80s, he was delivering the mail and one of the letters was addressed to him. And it was this lady who was like, I want to get to know you. And so they got married.
That's the cutest story there ever was.
It was so great. I was like,
oh my gosh.
I know.
This
is melting our cold, dead hearts.
I'm just picturing Cliff Clavin and just like, isn't that the mail carrier?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Just delivering the mail and then just like seeing a letter that says like, I want to be with you.
Yeah, she had seen, I think, an interview he did about the tree, and she was like, I like him.
That tree, nobody ever, don't cut that tree down. That tree needs to be around for forever.
It got an infection.
Of course it did.
You know how trees can get,
like, I do know.
Trouble.
I do know. We read the overstory.
That's the worst when that happens.
It's so sad. I cried in that book when a cherry tree died. Chestnut tree died.
Yeah, because like it makes you
a
feel
third
like
of all
alive,
the chestnut
like
trees
person.
In like United States got a disease and died a long time ago. It was
what?
Devastating. Oh yeah. So, yeah, like a ton of them.
That's it was because it can be contagious and stuff.
Yes,
like a bacteria, fungus.
Yes,
yeah.
And a bunch of the aspens were sick this year, and their leaves didn't fall off. They just died and didn't turn colors. Well, it just fell off.
This article did. It made it. It was very beautiful because they sort of made the parallels between this tree developing this infection and then the, you know, the mailman and his partner. Now, I think she may have passed and he's sick. And so, like they were saying, you know, the parallel between them and the tree.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very sweet. But that was a great article. And it's nice, like, I don't think a tree can have magical romantic powers, but I think that the people that it drew or that it draws are ones who have hope and want to see if they can find that love story. And that's pretty magical.
And when enough people believe in something, I think there is magic in that.
Yeah. It was real sweet.
Yeah.
That's my story.
I love
a lot
that
of old
story.
Gossip today.
Good one.
And out of nowhere, an accusation about Ed Sheeran.
Okay.
Wow.
Don't highlight that. I'm going to have like a cease and desist. He's going to come after me. Like, I know how this system works. Get you.
I mean, listen. Oh, look at the doggy. She is like
got a
ready
puppy
for love.
Friend. She's
I
like,
mean,
hi,
that's a really cute dog.
Hi, baby.
I think there's a person in that dog.
There is a person. This is a person dog.
Yeah.
This is 100%. We have full conversations, and the dog knows what I'm absolutely knows. And then it's funny when other people tell me about, like, what she's finicky about. And then I am like, nah, she won't be like that with me. And guess what? She's not. They're like, she's the worst eater. You have to do all this. I'm like, no, she'll eat.
Yeah.
She's fine. And she's fine. And I'm like, you just need somebody who's giving you the energy. I was like, you want to eat? Eat. If you don't want to eat, don't eat. I don't care. And then she goes, okay, I'll go to my food and I'll eat. Is everybody giving her so much attention? Like, making a big deal out of it. I'm like, no, she'll eat or she won't. It's fine. And
you
she eat every
whisperer.
Time. No problem. She's been great. This is like dog. Oh, sometimes she's hard. No, she's perfect. This is angel dog. She gets real whiny. Aww. Have you heard her one time?
No.
Nope. Not even at all. Angel dog.
She's been a very good girl.
She's the best girl. It's because I could tell she's a person dog. And so I'm like talking to her and I'm like giving
That's
her the
right.
vibes. I'm like, this is your bed. You just sit here and you chill. Okay. I'm going to be done soon. Got it. And then we'll go for a walk. Good. Good. Okay. Good.
It's so
moving
nice.
On. It's the best.
You got to get another
Bo
dog,
is like that
Sarah.
Too. I know. I have to.
I mean.
Got to work on Eli.
Just accept it.
Just break up with him. It's fine. Just kidding. What if?
Right. It's me or the dog.
It's me or the dog, but there's no dog.
Anyway, you got it. Old gossip, BBB, Rockheads, and it's Quantum Leap. Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, everyone. We love you.
We'll
see you next time.
Bye-bye.